Our study tonight is out of Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4, 8, and 9, prayerfully pre-planning to excel in hard times. Hard times make for difficult choices and actions, but one can begin to excel in leadership in a marriage, a family, a business, a church, or a government position by habitually practicing prayerful pre-planning. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 to 9, in its context, illustrates how such prayer pre-planning, preferably planning, actually can do much to help in hard times. Let me read the verses and then we'll look at it. Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, then going to verse 9. Then the king said unto me, "For what do you make request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres or tombs, that I may build it." And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting beside him, "For how long shall your journey be? And when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set up a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, "If it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the Euphrates River," or the Trans-Euphrates particular lands, "that they may convey me over," or safely, "until I come to Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into." And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen together with me. Okay, this is a passage that is loaded with a lot of insight. And I think we just normally scratch the surface. God used Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in what Daniel 9:25 called times of trouble. I'm just going to briefly look at that verse in Daniel 9:25. Of course, Daniel lived quite a bit of time before Nehemiah. And in Daniel 9:25, the prophecy of the angel to Daniel was given, and it said, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in times of trouble," or troublesome times. So this was not an easy time to be in leadership. It was a difficult time, as a time of trouble. Well, one reason God could use this man Nehemiah, was his resourcefulness to pre-plan prayerfully under stress, as follows. It's true that we all face stress. It's true that we all face challenges in life. But we can minimize to a tremendous degree a lot of the stress if we pre-plan. Just a little bit of insight. And it's interesting how this man illustrates this. When we read that the Persian king asked Nehemiah what he wanted him to do for Nehemiah to solve the problem that had led to Nehemiah's saddened face in Nehemiah chapter 2, 1 to 4, such sadness potentially being a capital offense at the time, or a death penalty, Nehemiah prayed and answered the king. Now, this would have been a very short prayer. It's like a king asking you a question and you answering it and so forth. Because the stress of the event required that Nehemiah not be seen as stalling lest he incite the king's wrath to execute him for his sadness. So the king says, "I noticed you're sad. What's going on here?" And if he said, the king said, "What's wrong with this guy? Get him out of here. Off with his head." Well, Nehemiah had to be ready. And so he prayed and then said, which, I mean, it was a very fast prayer. I know you've been in situations like this. I've been in the situations like this. Sometimes the car starts slipping on the road. Looks like you're going to go into the next lane, and you pray. Well, you know, that's a split second of prayer. You say, "Lord, help," you know, and then you get busy back to driving. Well, this man prayed a very, very quick prayer. But we know that this prayerful concern had been with Nehemiah for several months. He had heard of Jerusalem's plight in the month of Kislew, according to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, that we covered a week ago. And the Nehemiah chapter 2 conversation with the king occurred in the month of Nisan, which is 4 months later. Nisan would be the month about the time when Passover occurred. So we're talking about the spring of the year, April, March, April. So He had not only prayed during that time, but he had time to form a plan in the event that the king would ever get involved. And the extensive wise answer that he gave to the king displays that planning. Now, it's interesting, the Lord gave him time. He was reacting, he was sorrowful, but there's a period of time here between November, December, and March where he's got a lot of time to think. And he's thinking, he's praying about this, and he's working on a plan because he knows if the door ever opens, he may have just a very short opportunity to talk to this king. He's a busy king. He could really care less about a lot of concerns in Judah and so forth, so he wanted to be ready just in case. And I think it's interesting to show how prepared he was. The answer that Nehemiah gave to the king's question showed the great degree of his pre-planning. First of all, Nehemiah requested that the king send him to his father's city of Jerusalem in order to rebuild it. Now, he conveniently omitted mentioning the name of Jerusalem itself. He just says, the father, the city of Judah, of my father's sepulchers. Why is he doing that? Well, this same king had already sent a decree to thwart the building of the temple in Jerusalem under Ezra. Remember Artaxerxes I? He had already done that. And Nehemiah would have known that. So the last thing he wants to do is actually mention the city of Jerusalem, because that might flavor the king to say, whoa, if Jerusalem is your father's, forget about it. You know, I'm not interested. But he mentioned the land of Judah, which it was, and he said the city of his father's. He didn't say Jerusalem. It could have been Bethlehem, for all the king knew. Could have been Lachish, another one of the cities there. But he didn't aggravate the king. He had planned ahead to know, whatever you do, never mention the name of Jerusalem. He's very wise. So he didn't want to hurt his whole effort in aggravating the king by mentioning the name of Jerusalem. Then Nehemiah was obviously aware of the intrigue of this particular king's harem. Remember when in our first lesson we mentioned this? This is a king who had a lot of intrigue. The women in his harem were struggling against one another, and they were trying to do a number on one another. Well, the queen was sitting right next to him. I don't know if you picked this up, but in verse 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him. So she's one, and she could be one of the potential troublemakers, and Nehemiah knew it. So what did he do? He knew that she could probably block this situation if there was intrigue. So he immediately, verse 7 says, if it please the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors. Now, if he had documents in his hand, no matter what the queen did, she could not superimpose her will upon the king's documents, because Nehemiah had the documents. So he wanted the letters in hand from the king, because the queen was sitting there right in front of him. So he handled himself beautifully in this situation. The queen was present, so Nehemiah sought to protect himself from what obstruction she might set in his path by requesting from the king letters that he could possess, authorizing him to do what he planned, so he could show to the Trans-Euphrates governors, so he could make his journey successful and have authority to acquire timber from the king's forest for rebuilding Jerusalem's city gates. See, Nehemiah knew from Nehemiah chapter 1 that Jerusalem was under reproach. In other words, she had a lot of enemies there. And the enemies would not want him to get timber. They wouldn't want to help him in any way. So he wanted protection from the king, letters giving him authorization to go there in that situation, which was hostile territory, get timber from the king's fields, forests, under, you know, even though there were people that didn't want him to have the timber, so he could have it. And he knew what the timber was for. The timber was for the gates. It was also for a house for him, so he could build a house there. He knew he needed to have a house there. It rained sometimes that time in the year. In verse 8, the gates of the place appertain to the temple and for the wall of the city and the house that I will enter into. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God that was upon me. So he had this all planned out. So when the king asked him, bing, 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 he had it all laid out. We talk about setting the dominoes up, and then when you start knocking the dominoes, they all start falling down. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. He had everything. He had his ducks lined up on the pond, as we say in baseball. So he knew what he was doing. And then we know from the rest of the book that Nehemiah had set himself to build the city wall, a very shrewd move, since the wall was necessary to protect the people inside the city so that their efforts to construct dwellings in the wall could be accomplished free from attacks by outsiders. So now Nehemiah knew he had a limited amount of time. He couldn't build the whole city in the amount of time that he gave the king, but he knew that if he could build the wall, that would help the people out a whole lot, because it would be a lot easier to defend themselves. so that they could peacefully build their houses inside and build up the city of Jerusalem. So he focused just on the wall. I'll be gone for such and such a time, king, because I want to build the wall. And he had a good idea as how he's going to help the people know how to build the wall. In fact, we find out later he built the wall in 52 days. That's within 2 months, a whole city wall, which is a phenomenal feat. But we're going to see later how he did it. He already had a plan as to how to do that. Now, the king asked him for how long he planned to be away. And Nehemiah already had thought about that. So he gave the king a reasonable time span that he knew this ruler would approve. After all, see, he's the king's cupbearer. He doesn't want the cupbearer to be away too long of a period of time, because then some of the enemies of the king might plan to, you know, juice up his wine so he would die. So he didn't want him to be gone too long. He wanted Nehemiah back because he was a very valuable man. So Nehemiah gave him a short time span. He knew that he could get this done in that period of time. Well, God's hand was with Nehemiah, and the king granted him his request. In verse 8, the last part it says, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Now, we know that God worked in this situation, because there's a verse in Proverbs 21:1 that says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it wherever soever he wants." The word rivers of water is a reference to paugemangium in Hebrew. And these are little irrigation ditches. They would irrigate in the ancient Near East by flood irrigation. They would, with trees in an orchard, and they would set up like big squares. And if you wanted the water to go from one square of one tree to another, you would open it up with your foot, and you'd direct the water there. And when you wanted to dam it up, you would build the mud back up there in that particular part, block the water off, and send it somewhere else. And he said, God controls the heart of the king. Wherever he wants that water to go, wherever he wants the king's heart to go, he directs it. Well, God directed the king to be favorable. But it's interesting that Nehemiah had done enough pre-planning that he gave a reasonable offering to the king. It was very easy for the king to say, sure, you got my blessings. If he said, well, I want to be away for 30 years, and I need, all sorts of gold and silver and everything, the king might say, wait a minute, do you want the kingdom too? What's going on here? But he didn't do it. He gave a very reasonable suggestion, period of time. He wanted just to rebuild the wall. He wanted timber. Timber was fairly cheap. The king had lots of forests. So it was a very wise move on Nehemiah's part. It demonstrated tremendous planning. Well, Nehemiah then made the journey under royal guard, arriving safely in Jerusalem. In verse 9, you'll notice, "I came to the governors on the other side of the Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. And the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with him." So he came under protection. Now, the reason the king gave him protection, because he had these letters. And the king wanted these letters to be shown to these leaders. He wanted his cupbearer to be safe. He wanted his cupbearer to come back safely. He didn't want anything to happen to him. This is a trusted man. This is a right-hand man. So he gave him protection. So there's a lot that went on here. But there was a lot of pre-planning that went into it. So when the king said, "You got a sad face, what's going on?" "I prayed and I answered." And he just looked great in front of the king, and the king went and go ahead. So the point is, since he prayed and he planned before talking to the king about his burden, Nehemiah was able to make the most of the opportunity once God opened the door for him to speak to the king. So if we are burdened about specific concerns that require the involvement of other people, may we pray and plan for success once God opens the door for us to address the matter with those involved. I have an illustration here. Today I was looking ahead into next week's section that we're going to be covering in the Magnificat. And the next couple of verses that we're dealing with are dealing specifically with Mary's relationship to other people according to the Roman Catholic teaching. Now, in this particular teaching that the Roman Catholic Church brings up, they believe that Mary actually helps with your salvation. If you wear little amulets with Mary's picture on it, it'll actually protect you. There are all sorts of things about Mary. Well, I looked ahead, and then the passage is that Mary selects in the next few verses, the Old Testament passages, the contexts of those passages deal with every single one of these things. So the Lord's opened up the opportunity to address this. But you know what? I still have to formulate the sermon. I got to get in my office and do the work and plan it out, pre-plan it, and work it over and make it clear and simple as possible so that we'll be clear to help people. And that's the way God works with us. God is more than willing to open doors for us, but he's not going to open doors for us if we're just going to go through and say, "Ah, oh, I got an open door. Ah, oh, now what?" That's not the way God works. He wants us to be ready to go so that when the gun goes off, we're firing out of the starting block, so to speak. We got a plan. We're ready to go. Now, it's going to take me some time. I'm going to start in the office on Tuesday, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They're going to be 4 days there, and I'm going to be preparing a bunch of messages as well. But it's going to take a lot of work and planning on my part, but I'm very motivated to do this because I know this is going to help people. We've had a number of people, even today, who were talking to me about this, people from former Roman Catholic backgrounds who really want to get this information available for themselves. So I'm looking forward to going into this, but it's going to take planning. So may we in the future, if we find something that needs to be addressed, do the pre-planning that we can, praying, and then when the door opens, then we're ready to go. And then we can be a success. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. And we ask that we would follow the example of Nehemiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.